Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color Only on CNM Radio, where I will speak truth to the black nation. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the mainstream liberal black agenda. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or you'll find yourself in danger of the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only.
I got a new microphone system. I had to call in through my phone, and for some reason Skype is not responding to me, so I had to use this to call in. So, but if you can hear me, no one's in my chat room yet, but hopefully everything is going through nicely and whatever. But if you would like to be a guest to call into the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in once again. You can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. And make sure you season your comments well with respect, okay? I will not tolerate excessive profanity, trolling, ad hominem attacks, character assassination, things of that sort. If you feel like you can abstain from using those tactics in your conversations on the program, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Okay, just be respectful in your interactions on this program. Okay, we're all adults here, you know, and we can interact like adults. So, anyway, I want to apologize to those of you all who may be on the show today. You might be listening on the archives or whatever. I want to apologize to you all because I was supposed to have a show. I had a show scheduled for 8 o'clock last night. And one thing about Blog Talk Radio, their timing is off. You know, when you'll schedule a show, like you'll schedule a show for like 8 o'clock. And when you come in at 8, it'll say you have 2 hours left for the show. And you're like, okay, well, then let me just set it to 6 o'clock so that, you know, it'll think, you know, it'll think that it, you know, setting the show for 6 o'clock, but it's really setting it at 8. And I thought I did that on Friday, and I came in yesterday because my wife and I, we were out and about, and I didn't think we would be that late coming home yesterday. And when I came in, they said my show, you know, my show had already started. Of course, it was waiting for me to call in. And I was like, well, that's strange because usually it doesn't, you know, start on the time that I set. It'll say, you know, you have 2 hours to this. And I said, you know, and I tried to, you know, sync the time and everything, and it wouldn't. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and do it today. So I scheduled the show today, and I came in. And, you know, the show was scheduled at 4, and it said you had 2 hours and 15 minutes before the start of your show, which I knew I only had 15 minutes. So I had to go back and sync the time, and that's why I'm able to talk to you guys here now. And I'm hoping you guys can hear me. Really seriously hoping you guys can hear me right now. I left a link in my chat room talking about the whole George Floyd kerfuffle that we had to endure 3 years ago, which led to some of the worst rioting this country has ever seen, led to about $2.4 billion in damage. And, you know, the so-called peaceful protest, you know, they say it was a peaceful protest. So I left a link to a Tucker Carlson interview on Rumble that shows you that the whole George Floyd incident was really a hoax. Not saying that George Floyd didn't get killed or anything like that, but it turns out that the police officers, our news media and certain powers that be had it in for the police officers, and they were determined to get these police officers on a murder charge so that they can go to jail, you know. And they made a very interesting point in this video that George Floyd really didn't add anything to society, you know, anything of importance to the society. You know, he was a drug addict. He had been in prison 8 times. I said 8 times. And, you know, we also heard of the incident where he pointed a gun at a pregnant woman, broke into her house and pointed a gun at her and things like that. But everyone's like, you know, George was a saint. He was a martyr. And the only reason why he was killed the way he was because he was black. Turned out that one of the people who examined him did his autopsy, said there was no evidence that George Floyd died because of strangulation or any damage to his spinal cord. Which, if you would take a good look at the video or the picture on, you know, on the George Floyd incident, Officer Chauvin's knee is really not on George Floyd's neck. It's on his back. But no, Officer Chauvin, he's a white guy. He's a member of the Ku Klux Klan. He got white privilege. So he brutally killed George Floyd. And see where the brutality was. I don't see it anywhere. But they say he brutally murdered George Floyd in cold blood. And I watched the video, and it wasn't brutal. It wasn't a nice look, to be honest with you, from what I saw. It didn't look good, you know, with him with his knee and George Floyd's back like that. But that wasn't what killed George Floyd. And so, you know, they took Chauvin to they, you know, they put him on trial and said that he was guilty of, I think they said, third-degree murder and manslaughter. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, how can a person be guilty of murder and manslaughter at the same time? And so now pretty much Officer Chauvin is in jail for the rest of his life. They gave him a 40-year sentence, and he'll probably be in jail for the rest of his life. Because we have a media that wants to be politically correct. This didn't look good. You know, white guy on black person, we are still going through the Civil Rights Act. And, you know, we're still going through the Civil Rights era. And there are some people that will tell you that civil rights, that racism against black people is worse than it was during the Civil Rights era. Now, yesterday, my wife and I may have shared something like this last year, when my wife and I went to the fair. I had a photo that was entered into a contest at the fair, which is something I'll probably do every year. And so we went to the fair, had a good time out there, eating up all the food and, you know, just enjoying the sights and everything. Me enjoying my wife, my favorite person on my side. We just going around, whatever. And at one point we were sitting in the Dorton Arena, which is where the Wolfpack used to play their basketball, the NC State Wolfpack. And we were sitting in there, and they had all these exhibits and everything. And I'm just sitting there just looking around, like I did last year, and I'm just looking around, just taking in the sights, looking at the people, you know, just taking things in, somewhat of a people watcher. And so I'm looking at all these different people. You had black, white, Hispanic, Asian, all types of people just milling around. And I'm just looking around, and I'm just, you know, in amazement of the diversity that I saw at the NC State Fair yesterday. And I'm looking at the diversity, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, now, during the Civil Rights era, this probably wouldn't have been possible. And I'm just looking around like, when you all look at this. And I was telling my wife, look at all these people. Look at all these different people out here. I mean, you saw mixed couples. You saw people who you may have seen. I've seen a few white folks who had black children with them. So I assume that those were probably adopted children. And I'm sitting there like, wow, when you look at all this, when you take a look at this, and my wife was, you know, and I'm just looking, I'm like, now this is the picture of diversity right here. This is a good example of a diverse system right here. Because you could go to other countries, you won't see the diversity that I saw yesterday. Here in the South, in a place called Durham, North Carolina. Give me a second, folks. Give me a second here. Okay, but like I said, the diversity that I experienced yesterday, you know, you had people, you know, coming up to the booth and buying rides and eating the food and all that other good stuff, and you're sitting there like, now look at this. But you still have people that will say that America is a racist nation, that we live in a racist society. We live in a nation where White people have the privilege, but others do not. And I'm looking at people buying food and whatever. My wife likes the turkey legs. You know, she likes the turkey legs. And people buying food, and they're charging the same thing for white folks as they're charging for black folks. Now, someone's trying to make that, help that make that make sense to me. Make that make sense to me. Still live in a racist country. I think, I think people just want something to complain about, you know. And black folks in this country, they just like to complain, because they just want, you know, someone to do something for them that they don't have to do themselves. They just want to sit on their rusty dusties. I'm not saying all black people, so don't you all go around spreading that lie that I'm saying all black people are like this. But too many times, black folks just want to sit on their rusty dusty and just let somebody else do everything for them without them doing anything themselves. You know, a lot of times, you know, when someone is up for an election, you get a group of black people come up to the candidate and say, well, what are you going to do for black people? And if I was one of these candidates, I'd be like, okay, what are black people going to do for themselves? Because there's only so much I can do. First of all, I am not here to just do something special for black people. I represent all people, be you black, white, brown, red, yellow, olive, whatever. I'm here to represent everybody. My duty is to all the citizens in this country, not just a certain demographic that feels like they're being demonized all the time. Seems like every time we come out, every time a candidate comes out or whatever, you always have these people like, what are you going to do for black people? What are you going to do for yourself? We can pass policies and whatever to help your situation, help your communities, but ultimately the ball is in your court. What are you going to do? Are you going to help report criminals to the police? Are you going to encourage people to stop the crime? Are you going to encourage your girls to not sleep around with these boys and have all these illegitimate children that become a burden on the taxpayers? What are you going to do for yourself? Because that's ultimately who's to blame for your shortcomings. Not some rinky-dink leader in the White House, or in the state house, or in the mayor's or the governor's mansion. It's what you are doing for yourself. And people, they have this thing that, you know, you got to cater to us because of what we're going through, because we're being demonized, we're doing this. And none of these rascals go about helping themselves out. And here's the thing too, they every time the election cycle comes around, these are the main people get out there talking about, all right, y'all, you gotta vote, 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 come on, vote, 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 vote. And they think that by voting a certain candidate, that's just gonna make things all better. If we vote for this candidate, we got to vote for this candidate. And a lot of times when these people come out here, they tell you you got to vote and whatever. It's always a certain person that they want you to vote for. It's a certain party they want you to vote for. Because there's a certain party in America that is dependent on the black vote. See, black folks, a lot of black folks, they think that, you know, a certain party caters to them. They think this party really cares about them, but all this party does is use them to get their vote. And they get in the office, and a lot of the concerns of the black community don't get satisfied, because these candidates do not care about black folks. They really don't. I listen to these people, you know, like, okay, let me give you a case of Lori Lightfoot. Lori Lightfoot, she was the mayor of Chicago, did a poor job, and people started noticing that, you know, she's really not helping out Chicago. So, you know, they had her kicked out, and they brought in one Brandon Johnson. And folks were like, oh, yeah, we got rid of Lori Lightfoot. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, okay. So things are going to get better. And I'm sitting there like, you all do know that Brandon Johnson is a Democrat, right? And not only that, he supported defunding the police. And now the people in Chicago, they're in an uproar over Brandon Johnson because he's opening up certain avenues for illegal immigrants to come into the city. And now people are sitting here complaining, oh, I've been living here for the such and so and all this and everything and stuff like this. And you're just opening up to these illegals. I heard one lady say that the very reason that illegal immigrants are leaving their countries is for the same reasons that black people are suffering in this country right now. I say, you got to be kidding me. Well, if that's the case, then I don't see any black people heading to the border to illegally cross into Canada or Mexico or sneaking boat rides to sneak into Africa or Asia or anything like that. And this lady, she said that, you know, the same things that they're suffering in their countries, the reason why they're coming here, they're suffering from the same conditions that black people are suffering from in the U.S. And people don't call these folks out on it. People are suffering the same conditions that the illegal immigrants are suffering from. They seem awful happy to stay in this country. And folks like myself have told people, hey, if you do not like what is going on in this country, how you're being treated in this country, you can always go to another country. They don't go to another country. They'll sit there and say, if Donald Trump wins the election, I'm moving to Canada. Donald Trump gets elected, they don't move to Canada. You seem awful content to stay in this country, a country that is treating you so bad, treating you as bad as the illegals are being treated in their country. But you seem very content to stay in this country. But now these people, they're up in arms and they're, oh, these illegal immigrants, you know, I've been living in this country. I'm an American citizen. And y'all just let the illegals take over and everything. Here's the problem I have with these people making these complaints. First of all, these are the people you voted for. You voted for. And second of all, when it comes time to vote for a different person, you're going to vote for another candidate who is similar to the one you're complaining about right now. You're going to vote for excuse me. You're going to vote for that same person, basically, because you loathe to vote for somebody who's on the other side. Anything is better than a Republican. Anything is better than a conservative. So we'll continue voting, you know, for the people who are screwing us over. We'll continue voting for them because we just need to find the right mix in that side over there. But without looking on the other, nah, we ain't touching that on the other side. We're just going to keep voting for these people, you know, that keep screwing us over, who keep buying out, who keep using us for our vote. We're going to keep voting on this side until we get it right. And see, that brings up a old saying that if you think by doing the same thing over and over again will give you a different result, then that is the definition of insanity. Now, me, I go so far to say, no, that's not insanity. That's stupidity. Because you see that the person that you voted for is screwing you over, but then the next election cycle comes around and you vote for another person who is pretty much similar to the person you're complaining about. Sit here and you'll cry, you'll moan, you'll whine about how this person is treating you. Hey, I voted for you. Hey, how come we're being treated like this? But let election time come around and you will vote for a person who's similar to the person you're complaining about. And see, this is the reason why every election cycle, you get these people with their clipboards going around asking you, are you registered to vote? Are you registered to vote? Because they want to get enough stupid people out there to vote for their candidate. They don't care about you voting in general. What they care about is getting more stupid people to vote for their favorite candidate. And 9 times out of 10, when you see a person going around asking someone, are you registered to vote? They're usually favoring one party. They're favoring one party. But a lot of people, they just don't see it like that. But see, these are the people that a certain party, I'm going to stop calling them certain party, the Democrat Party, this is the type. These are the type of people that the Democrat Party depends on. This is who they feed on. This is who they use to get their power. And then they get in the office, and the people start complaining. They say, oh, okay, I hear your concerns, yada, yada, yada. All right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then they throw you a little crumb of bread, and you all sit there and fight over it like a bunch of wild dogs. And they go back to their cushy homes and whatever, running things the way they always have. And my wife was telling me the other day, she was like, I thought Obama was supposed to make everything better. I thought Obama was, you know, he was supposed to make everything better. Back in 2008, everybody was, oh, yeah, Obama. Oh, he's going to bring us into the promised land. A lot of you all out there got fooled by that. I didn't. I wasn't fooled by it at all. Oh, Barack Obama, he's going to do this for us. They had people doing the jungle boogie in the churches. People, oh, Obama, he's going to do this. I'm going to say it right now. I really do believe the Obama era made things worse for this country racially. I really do. You might disagree with me. That's fine. I have no problem with that. You might disagree with me. But I really do believe that the Obama era made things better as far as race in this country. Because anytime anyone came up to criticize Obama, everyone's like, oh, you're a racist. You just don't like him because he's black. Well, really, Obama's not black. Obama might be a quarter black. His father was black and Muslim. His mother was white. So really, Obama wasn't black. But, you know, if you want to, you know, give him credit for being the first black president, I'll give that to you. You know, I'll give that to you. You know, same thing with Kamala Harris. You know, everyone's saying, oh, she's a She's a glorious looking black woman and everything, but Kamala's really not black. She's more Indian than anything. So I'll give that to you. I'll give it to you. You say, yeah, okay, yeah. So what? She's the first black vice president, first black woman vice president in history. I'll give you all that. But see, here's the problem. People, we shouldn't be voting for people because of their skin color. Or because of certain charisma. We should be voting for a person that we think will get the job done. And see, the problem with black folks is we think if we vote for someone who is like us and liberal, let me put that in there too. If we vote for someone who is like us and liberal, then this person is going to get the job done without looking at their policies or anything like that, without looking at their voting records or anything like that, without voting what they support or anything. He just has to be black and liberal. He's got to be black and liberal. That's all that I care about. They'll jump on that bandwagon. And the reason why I say black and liberal is because if there was someone like a Herman Cain or a Larry Elder or an Alan Keyes or, you know, excuse me, or Byron Donalds or someone like that, I ain't voting for him, you know, because he's black and conservative. That's why a lot of people are so uptight about Clarence Thomas right now. And you all can say that the reason why you don't like Clarence Thomas was what? Because of what he did to Anita Hill back in the day. No, you all were against Clarence Thomas before Anita Hill came into play. The only reason why people do not like Clarence Thomas is because he's a black man and that he is a conservative. That's the only reason why people do not like Clarence Thomas. I see you there, caller. I see you there. Give me a second here. That's the only reason why people don't like Clarence Thomas. And all the false accusations that come up against him, you know, they say, yeah, see. But people were against Clarence Thomas before Anita Hill came into play. And Clarence Thomas, because he doesn't dwell around the plantation like everybody else, they don't like that. Clarence Thomas says, I don't want to be on the plantation with the rest of you. I'm going to walk in my freedom. And people don't like him because Clarence Thomas dare not make himself part of the collective. See, an individual free-thinking black person is the biggest threat to mainstream liberal black America today. If you can think for yourself, if you can use reasoning, deduction, you can use logic, then you're a threat to mainstream liberal black America because you're supposed to join in with the collective. Like that alien race in Star Trek called the Borg. We are the Borg. You will be assimilated. They see you as a threat because you haven't assimilated into the collective. And they will go about to try to intimidate you to join in the collective. And they make you, you know, they try to intimidate you into joining their ranks. Oh, you're a coon. You're a sellout. You're just trying to kiss up to the white man. They love the gaslighting. Oh, my gosh. They love the gaslighting. And even when you explain to them what you are about, they still want to think their initial thoughts about you. They're not going to sit there and say, okay. Well, I still disagree with you, but okay, I see where you're coming from. They're not going to do that. They're still going to turn around and say, he's just a shield for the white man, without realizing the very thing accusing black conservatives of, they are more than 10 times guilty of what they're accusing them of. They don't realize every election cycle, those white liberals, they are counting on your vote because they know they can get your vote because every time the votes come up, 90% of you vote for the liberal candidate. So they know they, oh, we can count on their vote. Yeah, we got them in the hog pen. We got them locked up. They can't escape. We got them locked up. They know they're going to get your vote. They just know it. But no, it's the black conservatives who are shilling for the white man, taking for the white man. Had a guy on here one time named Warren. He had a show called New Orleans Wake Up. Show's been kicked off of Blog Talk Radio. I wasn't happy about that. I wasn't happy that he got kicked off. He got what he deserved, but I wasn't happy about it. I was like, you know, let him go on. Let him go on saying whatever he wants to. You know, he referred to people like me as black comfort dogs for white conservatives. And this guy was a champion gaslighter. He'll come on here, make false accusations, go on his show, make false accusations. Then when the backlash hit him, he's like, what? What did I do? I treated you with respect. Yeah, but behind the scenes, you were dogging me out. And he said I was an example of a black comfort dog for white conservatives. He was saying that, I get paid to do this. Ain't no one paid me a cent. I've been doing this show since 2009. I never got a cent for doing this program. Not one dime, not one penny. I don't have any producers or consultants or anyone like that. Basically, when you hear me on this show, I'm basically free winging it. Nobody came and told me this is what you need to say, that you need to say this. Nobody tells me that. The reason why I did this show was because I see things going on in the world today, and I'm seeing some discrepancies here and whatever, and I said, hey, I got a voice to, excuse me, I got a voice to get out there too. You know, a lot of times when we think of someone to listen to, we think of the Sean Hannitys or the Rush Limbaughs or the Mark Levins or any of these other type of people, the Larry Elders and everything. But you got people who are not big personalities. They got a voice to say, too. That's the reason why I do this show, because I'm not one of those big type people out there not trying to make it big, be honest with you. If that happens, it happens. But this is not my effort of trying to get into the mainstream so my name can get out there and I can see my name on lights and everything and stuff like that. I'm a common citizen that's voicing his opinion about what he sees that's going on in the world. Now, people don't understand that. They think I got some hidden agenda, some ulterior motive going on. They got serious problems. They got serious problems because they don't know me. They don't know why I do this. And, you know, I don't have a political axe to grind, so to speak, because I don't understand politics. I really don't. I'm not against people who are in politics, but I just don't understand politics. The only reason why I'm on here is to try to deliver the truth to you, and I might not be the most eloquent person out there, you know. I remember telling people that I'm not what you call a history buff. I like history. I like to learn history, but I'm not what you call a history buff. And someone said, oh, Vincent says he doesn't know anything about history. No, I didn't say that. I just said I'm not a history buff. Now, you got people that come on this show like Sarge and Pianti. Those guys are history buffs. They're well-studied in history. They go down all into the details. They don't only swim in the ocean. They go all the way down to the bottom. They go into the mud and they deduce everything. I'm not that type of person. It doesn't mean that I don't know history, though. And see, my knowledge of history is more basic than those gentlemen's knowledge of history. Mine is more basic. But I do know enough to know the truth about what's going on. And I know that history is the same. You can't wash out of the fabric of time. Oh, my caller's gone. I was about to give me another 5 minutes. I would have gotten a caller. Sometimes I don't know if they got something to do or they're not patient or whatever. You know, I just wish my caller would stay on long enough for me to, you know, pull them onto the show. Because I really do value the opinions of my callers as long as, you know, they're respectful about it. You know, but, you know, hey, I don't know why. So, but we listen to these people talk about how bad a Larry Elder is, or a Clarence Thomas, or a Herman Cain, or any of these other black conservatives. But they're more guilty than the ones they're pointing their fingers at. Still living on the plantation, dude. Not me. I'm not begging at the feet of Massa. You are. Not myself. Old Massa. What do you want us to do for you, Massa? That's not me. Say that. But just because you think it and say it doesn't mean it is true. So like I said, about this dude named Warren, you know, if he ever comes on it, you know, comes back on Blog Talk Radio, I hope he has a new found respect for how to interact with people who disagree with him, or people who have a different point of view than he does, instead of coming up and, you know, just trying to take over people's shows like he tried to do on several occasions, and he got called out on it. He got reported to Blog Talk Radio, and they shut his show down. And he gets on another guy's show, and he says, well, you know, they shut down my free speech rights. They shut down my free speech. When you got something to say, it's free speech. Somebody else got something to say, then you need to shut them down. But he got a dose of his medicine, you know, and, you know, they love to talk about free speech, you know, but here's the thing about it. You can sue a person for slander. That means they said something. That means they said something. They're trying to defame another person's character. You can actually sue someone for that. So don't give me that argument about free speech. Now, you might disagree with somebody. It might be a different point of view of yours, and a person has a right to say what they want to say. But you don't have the right to go out and tear someone's reputation down. That's what Warren was trying to do. And you said they violated my free speech. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They didn't violate his free speech. Warren wanted to act like a fruit bat, so they pulled out the guns and started shooting fruit bats. And he might come back on Blog Talk Radio as another personality, as a, you know, on another name or whatever. But like I said, I hope he comes here, you know. And I'm not asking him to agree with me. If you are listening to the show right now, I am not asking you to agree with me. I just ask you to consider what I say. And don't just take my word for anything. Check out what I'm saying. Now, like I said, I'm not that complex a person or anything like that. So it should be pretty simple to debunk me if I'm wrong or to confirm that what I'm saying is right. But if you got that collective thinking and you come on here and you're like, yeah, uh-huh, you know, because the collective tells you to think like that, then that's where you're going to have a problem. And I will continue to say it until the day God stops me from doing this show, that the white man's the white man is not the black man's problem. The white man is not your problem, black folks. You're not being held back from doing anything by white people. Like I gave the example of yesterday when I was at the NC State Fair. You have black people mingling with white folks, everybody having a good time, buying the same food, playing the same games, winning the same prizes. That's all you have to do. Go anywhere publicly in this country and tell me that there is some racism, you know, there's some systemic racism going on. Because if the racism were systemic, you wouldn't have had black people at that fair yesterday. If the racism were systemic, they would have offered another price for black people for what they bought at the fair yesterday than they would have white people. So they can throw this systemic racism thing around all they want to. And basically, systemic racism is what people mean when they say systemic racism is that the laws of this land are against black people, and it's kind of in a code, so to speak. And you really have to dig through it to find out, you know, what is for black people and what is for white people. So my thing is this, you know, show me in the Constitution or any law that prevents a black person from doing anything. I mean, show it to me. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not being oppressed by white people. Most of the people who cause me problems have been black people. And I'm not saying that, you know, I hate black people because they cause me problems. I ain't saying that. But I have to admit, from the day I was born, October the 16th, 1968, until today, most of the people who have given me problems have been black people. Now, I've had problems with white people, too. Don't get me wrong. I've had white people call me the N-word. But I don't judge every single white person based on what a few of them have done to me. I don't agree with the Colin Kaepernick who say that they can't bow, they can't stand for the flag of a country that oppresses black people. A man who was raised by white folks, even though he was the biological product of a white parent and a black parent. And the black parent didn't want to take care of him. So these white folks took him in, and he's sitting here talking about he's being oppressed by white folks. But these white folks, they raised him to the point where he went to college, he got drafted into the NFL, made millions of dollars, took his team to the Super Bowl, almost won the thing. But yet and still, black people are being oppressed by the white man. If I was his family, I would be insulted. His adopted parents, I would be insulted. Like, Colin, what are you talking about? We raised you. We adopted you. We helped you get into college, which led to you being drafted by the NFL. And yeah, you did well for the NFL, and then after a while you sucked, but you almost won the Super Bowl, dude. And you're going to turn back on us like this? That's the same thing that's going on with this Michael Orr thing. Michael Orr, who was the subject of that movie by Sandra Bullock, you know, Sandra Bullock starred in it. She won an Academy Award for Best Actress or Best Supporting Actress. I don't know which one it is. I don't watch these award shows too much. Michael Orr, he was brought in by this family, the Tuohy, because he was being, he was being messed around or whatever. They helped him get into school. He discovers he had a talent for football because of the TUI. He goes to college, becomes an All-American, gets drafted by the Ravens, I think in 2009, if I'm correct. Goes to the Super Bowl, and he becomes a Super Bowl champion with the Ravens against the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers, who had Colin Kaepernick as their quarterback. Michael Orr was on that Ravens team that defeated the 49ers in the Super Bowl. But instead of showing his appreciation, he's like, well, the TUIs, they made all these millions of dollars on that movie, and I didn't get any of that money. So now he wants to sue them. And, of course, questions came up about his adoption and everything. I'm not going to go into that. But, people took him in. Black folks wouldn't even take care of him. But they took him in. He realizes he has his talent. But then he just turns his back on him like that. If I was a TUIs, I would have been heartbroken. Matter of fact, I felt heartbroken for them. Like, you did all this stuff for him, helped him get on his feet, turns around, and really it was betrayal. It was a betrayal. What Michael Orr did to the TUIs was betrayal. He betrayed them. And you know why Michael Orr did that? Because he got influenced by Black Lives Matter. That's my opinion. I really do believe he got influenced by that. You had this movie, and people are talking about this white savior complex, oh, look at what we're doing for this black guy. So secretly we can get money from him, and that's not what the TUIs were doing. The TUIs were already filthy rich. That's why they were able to take Michael Orr in. They were already millionaires. They said the people who did the movie, they paid the TUIs and Michael Orr all together $700,000. So it was to be equally distributed. $700,000 was to be equally distributed among them. The TUIs didn't get millions of dollars out of that movie. TUIs didn't need millions of dollars out of that movie. They didn't need that money. But Michael Orr, because he's black, he's probably listening to the collective. He's like, wait a minute, the TUIs need me. They just brought me in so I can be their cash cow. Oh, I'm going to sue them. And now we got a bad taste in our mouths for something that someone did out of generosity to help this young man. And see, this is why I don't like to, this is why I don't like to judge people based on race or, going to the racial thing and everything, because see, it divided us even in a situation like this. And that has to be heartbreaking. One of the feel-good stories in recent times. Now it's pitting people against one another. The TUIs just used him because they saw another opportunity to make money off of him. And the TUIs were already millionaires. They were already millionaires. Now, whether he was adopted or had a conservatorship, I leave that up to everybody else. But the thing about it is, would we have known about Michael Orr had it not been for the TUIs? No, we would not have. Because our black leaders weren't helping him. Our so-called black leaders, they weren't helping him. The black communities, they weren't helping him. But here comes this white family, helps him out, gets him on his feet, And now all of a sudden, these white saviors, they just use him to get some money off of them. They didn't care. They really didn't care that Michael was a black guy. They didn't know he had that talent. They didn't know he was talented in football. But now we all got a bad taste in our mouths. How many of us have gotten to the point where we don't even want to watch The Blind Side anymore because of the real world drama that's going on based on that movie? How many of us have stopped watching The Blind Side? It was a great movie. I watched it. You know, I watched it a couple of times. I was like, this is a great movie. You know, now there might be some question about whether certain things in it was true or not. But I thought it was a great movie. I really did. And for someone to, you know, open up their heart and take someone off the street like that and to pretty much make him part of the family, whether they adopted him or not, they pretty much made him part of the family. Now, if Michael Orr had been a white person, we wouldn't be having all this drama because he was black. White people, you know, we in mainstream liberal black America, we always have this thing that white people have an ulterior motive when they're helping out little black people. When they're helping out the black folks, they have an ulterior motive. They want something in return, so to speak. And that's the collective thinking among black folks, among mainstream liberal black America, excuse me, not all black folks. I want to stress that. So some people get up here, like I said before, and they'll say, oh, you saying that about all black folks. Well, I'm a black folk. And I don't think like that. So, I mean, but anyway, we're at the top of the hour. Let me get the advertisements out the way. And when I come back, I'll see you on the other side.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Ben Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with lucid libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Mm-hmm.
back to the show. You're listening to DJ Southeast Vince in Durham, North Carolina, on Black by Color only on CNM Radio. If you'd like to be a guest to call into the show, call in number is 646-478-5284. And, here recently, about a week ago, I got a new computer because the computer I had was just so slow and it was glitchy and everything and stuff like that. And I said, you know what? I'm tired of this, you know. And so I got me a new computer. Got me one of those mini computers, you know, and this thing is working beautifully. I mean, just beautifully. And I tell anybody, I'm not sure if mini computers are the wave of the future. They probably are. I'm not so sure of that. But this one runs as well as any computer I think I've ever had. And if you were to ask me an opinion about, you know, whether you should get a mini computer or not, you know, I would tell you an emphatic yes. And this one has really been it's really been a blessing for me. You know, so, but a little less than a week ago, I celebrated my 55th birthday, October the 16th. Yesterday was my 37th anniversary as a born-again Christian. Now, some of you all might be, what does he mean by, you know, born-again Christian or something like that? When I was a teenager, you know, came down here to Durham, North Carolina, you know, I came here, you know, looking for a new life because I grew up in the D.C. metropolitan area, Washington, D.C., and I had been pretty much used to crack and came down here to go to college, but really I wanted to get out of D.C. That's basically why. So I really didn't want to go to college. I came down here to get out of D.C., and I told myself if I ever go to college, I want to go to college in North Carolina because North Carolina was just attractive to me. You know, I didn't know that much about North Carolina because the only thing I knew about North Carolina was that I had an aunt and a cousin who lived in Winston-Salem, and we rarely came down to North Carolina. North Carolina was kind of like an exotic land to me, you know, like North Carolina. You up in D.C., so many people had relatives in North Carolina, you know. And I was one of those, but I didn't know the thing at first about North Carolina. And I said, if I ever go to school, I want to go in North Carolina. And I even had an aunt to tell me, said, Vincent, if you ever go to school, get away from home, which she didn't have to tell me that twice because, you know, I was going through some stuff, you know, growing up. And I came down here to go to North Carolina Central University. And, you know, people are surprised when they hear that I went to an HBCU, which is what North Carolina Central University is. But I didn't go to North Carolina Central University because it was a black university. I went there because it was the only university in North Carolina that accepted me. And I was like, shoot, they're in North Carolina? I'm going to North Carolina Central University. And a couple of years after I first came down here to Durham, I decided to become a permanent resident. I was 19 years old, and I've been that way ever since. But on October the 21st, 1986, which was 5 days after my 18th birthday, I decided to make Jesus Lord of my life. I got born again, started learning the Bible, things of that sort, and started living for Him. And to be honest with you, the church I went to, I will have to say this. I do appreciate them for setting me on the path for learning the Bible and whatever, but there were some things about them that was not biblical, you know, such as the, you know, the tithing and the name it and claim it and, you know, casting demons out of Christians and things like that, you know. But I do have some appreciation for them for setting me on that path because before then I was a Roman Catholic and I rarely read the Bible, very rarely, you know. And, you know, they were, when I joined this church here in Durham, North Carolina, you know, they opened my eyes up to certain scriptures and, you know, and everything. And that started me on my path where I am now. And surprisingly, the church I went to was an all-black church, but the pastor was conservative. And the thing about it was, I had no problem with white people, really. I really had no problem with white people. I've heard about the civil rights movement and what, you know, racist white people did and whatever. But I really didn't have problems with white people. My 13th birthday in 1981, I had two white people at my birthday party. I've got no problem with white people. Never really did. I had no problem with mixed marriages. And this was before I became a Christian. Let me say that. This was before I became a Christian. In 1984, when Jesse Jackson was trying to, you know, get the Democratic nomination for president, you know, a lot of black people were excited. They were like, yeah, I'm going to vote for Jesse Jackson. I didn't, because I was like, I know Jesse is black, but he's got to show me something. Now, you're talking about a kid who didn't know anything about politics. This was in 1984, and Ronald Reagan was up for re-election, you know, because I was black, you know, you're around a lot of black people that tells you Ronald Reagan bad, you know, Ronald Reagan bad, Republicans bad and everything. But I didn't know anything about politics, but I wasn't going to vote for Jesse Jackson. But the person I would have chosen would have been as bad as Jesse, or even worse, was Walter Mondale. That was the person I was going to vote for. I ain't vote for no Reagan. No, Reagan, he bad. Now, hindsight has told me that Reagan wasn't as bad as people made him out to be. He had his flaws and everything, his shortcomings and whatever. But, you know, he wasn't that bad a president. Matter of fact, he may have been the best president we had until Donald Trump came in. Yeah, and I said it. But I didn't know anything about politics back then. I couldn't tell you the Democrats between a I couldn't tell you the difference between a Republican, a Democrat, or a sewer rat. I couldn't tell you the difference. Because back then, the type of person I was, I didn't care who you were. I thought the government was just screwing us over no matter what. That was my mode of thinking. I didn't know anything about politics back then, but I was like, I'm not voting for Jesse Jackson. What? Why? Because he's black? I said, I ain't voting for him. You know, some of my black classmates, met, you vote for Mondale. Yeah, Jesse Jackson has to show me something, you know. Because I said, because even then as a dumb teenager, I knew that I can't just vote for someone because of their skin color. They have to show something to me. They have to, you know, they have to be about something. I wasn't seeing that from Jesse Jackson. All I was seeing was Jesse Jackson threw his hat in the ring and a lot of black people said, hey, I'm going to vote for Jesse Jackson because he's black. Any knowledge about politics until I joined this particular church. And the pastor was talking about, you know, abortion is murder. He was talking about homosexuality is not a lifestyle that's approved of God, things like that. And people might say, oh, he influenced you to think the way you did now. Not really. The word of God did. And like I said, you know, this preacher, you know, I've fallen out of favor with him because some things he does is unbiblical, but set me on this path where I am today. And my mentality was already there to accept what is true because I didn't want to accept somebody else's opinion about something. I wanted to accept what was true. And see, what I'm seeing in today's world is we only want to accept what we have approved of for so many years. You know, we believe something for so long that when someone comes up and offers a rebuttal to your point of view, we feel insulted, we feel disrespected. And instead of researching what the person has said, and figure out that, you know, what this person is saying is true. We just attack them like a grizzly, like a cornered grizzly, without looking into what the person is saying. That's what I'm seeing in the world today. A lot of people will attack you because the truth cramps their style. They don't want to follow the truth. They want to follow their own convoluted opinion. Because when the truth, look, I don't care if you believe one way. I don't care if you believe a lie for 50 years. When the truth comes into play, you need to follow the truth. But a lot of people, they don't want to follow the truth because their opinions are so dear to them. It's almost like it's breaking their pride. Their pride comes into play. And you know what the Bible says about pride. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you're so caught up in your pride that you totally dismiss the truth. And what I'm seeing in the world today is people, they ignore the truth when it comes from a person they don't like, but they'll accept a lie from a person that they do like. A person that they show favor for, they'll believe anything that person tells them. But the person that they don't have as much favor for, they won't accept anything from that person, even if it's the truth. That person can say, oh, the sky is blue. I don't believe you. Well, it is. Just look up. Yeah, I see the sky, but I don't believe you that it is blue. Remember when the COVID thing was ramping up and Donald Trump was, what do you call it, the light speed initiative or something like that. And, you know, he was trying to, you know, get approval for the COVID vaccine, which I don't agree with him about. You know, a lot of things I like about Donald Trump, that's not one of them. And Kamala Harris gets up there. She says, I'm not taking the vaccine. Anything by Donald Trump, I'm not accepting anything by Donald Trump. That's what she said. But then Joe Biden comes into office and he's pushing the vaccine. And guess who's pushing the vaccine now? Kamala Harris. So what made you change your mind? The people who worked on the COVID vaccine, they haven't changed. It's the same people. But what made you change your mind? It's because you don't like Donald Trump. But now that Joe Biden is pushing it, oh, yeah, get the vaccine. I call it hater syndrome, because you'll accept a lie from those you like, but you won't accept the truth from those you don't like. Hater syndrome. And one thing I don't understand about liberal black America is you see these people screwing you over. Like I mentioned, you know, Brandon Johnson earlier. You see these people screwing you over. They come in, they tell you, they give you all these promises. They don't deliver on their promises. You complain, and then you go ahead and you vote for someone who is just like the person that you fell out of favor with. And I don't understand why black people, you're supposed to be the collective, why the collective doesn't say, hey, wait a minute, we've been voting for this person, we've been voting for that person, we've been voting for these people for about 60, 70 years, and things haven't gotten better. They've gotten worse. Why don't we check out the other side for a change? But they are so low that they do not like, that they will not go to the other side. To me, people, that is the essence of stupidity. It's like you have a slave master and he's whooping the crap out of you. You're like, we don't want this slave master. Let's get another slave master. And then that slave, and they say, oh, okay, this slave master, he's going to treat us better. He's going to treat us better. And then he treats you even worse than your last slave master did. But you keep voting for a slave master. That's what I see mainstream liberal black America is doing today. They keep voting new slave masters, thinking this new slave master is going to treat them better than the previous one, only to see that this slave master is worse than the last one that you got rid of. To me, that is the essence of stupidity. Because your favorite person told you some lie about someone on the other side. You are loathe to go to the other side and hear what they have to use reasoning and logic in listening to them instead of talking over them and cutting them off and gaslighting them and everything. Instead of going over there and saying, you know what, I've listened to my side for so many years. Let me listen to them. Because a lot of people, they're not following one side because they understand what the other side is. They're following their one side because those are the people that influence them the most. Those are ones that influence them. And they've been so influenced by these certain people, they think that these people have their best interests at heart when they don't. But these people that don't have the best interest at heart, they're telling you the people on the other side, they don't have your best interest. You just stick with us. And so this is why we go through this cycle all the time. Next cycle comes up. They vote for the very same people that they've been complaining about for so long. I've seen it in Washington, D.C. I've seen it in Chicago. They sit here, they complain. I remember back in 2012 when Barack Obama was reelected, there were black folks who were complaining that Barack Obama didn't deliver on his promises. But you are still voting for Democrats, saying you should be favoring the other side or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but the side that you're in is screwing you over. But you don't realize it. But you want to demonize those people on the other side and say, oh, no, I will never vote for them. But you don't even know what they're about. All you know about them is what somebody told you, what you have heard. Most black people think that conservatives are a bunch of racists. They're not. They think they're misogynists. They're not. But the very thing that they blame conservatives for, they're more than 10 times guilty themselves. And then, you know, these white liberals, they can get up here and talk about black conservatives and not one black person to say anything about it. No one in the liberal mainstream black America is going to say anything about a white liberal tearing down a black conservative. But hey, Black Lives Matter. Oh, they do? Does Black Lives really matter? Or just the Black Lives that you favor that matters? Telling my wife the other day, you know, once again, black people, they're not, I don't know what it is about their awareness. Black Lives Matter has collected millions, maybe even billions of dollars. But have you seen them come into your community to clean it up, to offer programs to help educate your children, to get people off of drugs, keep the young girls from, you know, getting pregnant before they're ready, before they're married, teaching little girls how to be young ladies, teaching young men how to be young men? Have you seen them coming into your communities doing that? No, but one thing we've seen them do, buy houses for themselves. We've seen that. But yet and still, people are still supporting Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter, most of their money goes to helping transgender causes. They don't care about black people. They just choose that name, Black Lives Matter, because they're like, oh, okay. Because they know a bunch of stupid people are going to follow along with their rhetoric. And, you know, you hear some people say, well, when Black Lives Matter first started, their hearts were in the right place. No, it wasn't, because they were started by a lie. Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin. Hands up, don't shoot. One of the biggest lies in recent memory. Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. And some people still believe that Michael Brown was on his knees with his hands up and the police officer just shot him in cold blood. And I think the reason why that rhetoric keeps going on is not because people are convinced that that happened. It's that they want to know that it has happened. They want to believe that it happened. And you get a bunch of non-educated, thuggish people out here protesting, talking about, hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot. They never looked into the situation. All they saw was a white man, a white police officer, killing a black kid. And it turns out the whole narrative of that story was a hoax. Not that Michael Brown didn't get killed, because he did. Derek Chauvin did kill Michael Brown, but Derek Chauvin did it out of an act of self-defense. And now, right now, Derek Chauvin, no, I got the wrong person. I got the wrong person, y'all. Darren Wilson. Excuse me. Got that mixed up. It's Darren Wilson that shot and killed Michael Brown. But he didn't do it in cold blood. He didn't do it because he's black. He did it because Michael Brown was foolish enough to challenge this police officer, a man with a gun. You have no gun, fool. And you're going to challenge this police officer who has a gun, a nightstick, and a taser. And you challenge this man, wanted to attack him. He's defending himself, and he ends up shooting you dead. And now people are like, oh, he did it because he was black. And now everyone has this narrative. They're going around saying, well, when they get a white person, you know, they negotiate with them, but a black person, they'll just shoot them. Give me an example where that's happened. But I can tell you a couple of examples where white people have fallen prey to police officers. They're talking about Dylan Roof. That knucklehead kid that went into that church and shot up that black church and killed those 9 people. They said they took him, the Burger King. Hey, Dylan, hey, yeah, we got you in handcuffs and everything, but, you know, hey, get anything you want up here. We'll get it for you. Okay. Yeah, I want a Whopper, one large fries, give me a large Coke, you know, and everything. They said they took him, the Burger King. And that's the only example they could give where that has happened. And I don't believe they took him to Burger King. They took him to the police station, and they said, "Okay, we're going. You know, what do you want? You know, we're going to get you something." Because they do that with all criminals. You know, they give them something to eat. But now the narrative is, if you're a black person, you got to be careful, because when the police pull you over, they're ready to shoot you at any second. Because they won't do that to white people. When I mentioned the name Tony Tempa to the guy I mentioned earlier, Warren, I told him, I said, have you ever heard of Tony Tempa? He said, no. I said, you ain't never heard of Tony Tempa? 2016 in Dallas, he calls the police because, you know, he's off his medications. He's going crazy. The police, they come. They had an interaction with him. They threw him on the ground. Stuck their knee in his back for 14 minutes. And he died in about the same manner as George Floyd. You ain't hear no outrage about Tony Temple, about what the police did to Tony Temple. And here's the thing about Tony Temple. All the officers that were involved in his arrest, they all got acquitted. But a lot of you all, y'all not going to look up Tony Temple. Because you want to continue thinking that the police has it out for black people. Another case, a guy named, was it Daniel Savers? I think that's his name. White people, they called him out of his hotel room. They told him, get down on the ground. I saw the video of this one. Told him, get down on the ground. Don't make any sudden movements and everything and stuff like that. They ended up shooting him. He was unarmed, but no outrage of that. They only do that to black people. Tony Tempa, Daniel Savers, they were both white men. And we got this thing, like the police officers got an agenda or something. Oh, he's a black guy. Go ahead and shoot him. Oh, he's a white guy. Oh, let's talk him down. Let's take him to rehab. Black people, we just kill them, put them in jail. That's why they criminalize crack cocaine, because they do a lot of black people. Well, on crack cocaine, put them in jail. That's where he belongs. But white people, oh, we'll take you to rehab. They have no evidence of that. But it soothes their narrative. That's why they like to talk about this type of stuff. It soothes their narrative. It confirms the lies that they have been told. But they have no evidence that that ever happened, at least not in the last 50 years. They could go back into the civil rights era and pull up some cases then, but they can't pull up anything within the last, I'll say 20, 30 years, maybe even 40, maybe even 50. And sometimes every now and then I hear a black person will say something on Facebook or something. Yeah, that police officer pulled me over and he had his hand on his gun. Well, why did he have his hand on his gun? See, that's where I get curious. Why did he have his hand on his gun? Being a police officer is a dangerous profession. And police officers, they gotta react within a split second. And yeah, the person that they shot and killed, he may have been reaching for a hairbrush, but if he had just complied with a police officer, oh, thank you there, Robert. Can you hear me? I'm hoping two folks can hear me. And like I said, at the beginning of the show, you can hear my apology where I'm apologizing somewhat profusely because my wife and I, we went to the fair yesterday. We came in kind of late. And this, I don't know if it's the algorithm or whatever in Blog Talk Radio, sometimes the time is off. You'll say, okay, I'm doing a show at 8 o'clock, but they think it's scheduled at 10 o'clock, you know, and everything. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to do a show today. And I made sure that I didn't interfere with any other show or CNM radio, you know. I wanted to make sure. But I didn't want to go another weekend without doing a show because it's been 2 weeks, you know, so. But that's why. But yeah, we had fun at the fair yesterday. We enjoyed ourselves. The weather was beautiful, and we really enjoyed ourselves yesterday. Ate up all. We finally got them little. I don't know if y'all know about these drinks. They core out a pineapple, and they mix it with some juice and everything, and they top it with a slushy, and they put an umbrella in it. My wife and I finally bought those. I told my wife this year I'm going all out for the fair. We went there. Now, I like the pineapple. I like the concept of the pineapple. You know, they put the juice and everything in it, and they pop it all with the slushy and everything. But that'll be the last time I get the pineapple. Them things were heavy. You know, we already had a lot of stuff that we were carrying and everything. But, you know, whoever came up with that concept, that was a very great idea, you know. And every year they come to the fair, I guarantee you these people make a killing. even though, you know, two of them pineapples were $32, which was not as expensive as I thought it would be, but it wasn't, you know, it's still up there, $32. I mean, that's $16 a pineapple. And of course, my wife, she likes the turkey legs, and the turkey legs were $18. Now, less than 20 years ago, you could get two turkey legs for $10. Now they're up to $18. But, you know, that's my sweetie, so I got her the turkey legs, you know, and she loves the turkey legs. But, yeah, I was apologizing profusely because I was like, oh, man, meant to have a show at 8 o'clock, you know, because I knew I was going to be at the fair, but I didn't think I would be at the fair that long, you know. So, but next week I'm going to have a show, 1st of November. I'm not going to have one, but for the rest of November and into December, you know, of course, the first of the month, I'm not going to have a program. But November, I'm slated to, you know, do all the shows. Well, I'm not sure about the Thanksgiving weekend because my wife and I were supposed to be going out of town. We'll see about that. But, yeah. And I was hoping, because I got a new computer and I got a new microphone system, and I was hoping people could hear me because I try to come in with Skype, and something's going on with Skype. I can't get in, so I just decided to use my phone and, you know, call in that way. And I'm glad you can hear me, you know, because I've been doing this for about an hour and a half. And it'll be a shame if I come back to the archives and I try to listen to the show and it's like, you know, just blank space. But anyway, thank you there, Robert. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate you guys for what you are doing over here, you know. But I was basically, you know, winging it today. Didn't really have anything special to say for today. Pretty much, you know, what I talk about every week. And I know someone complains. They say, Vincent, you say the same things every week, you know. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you need to keep saying the same thing until people can get it, you know. I try to mix it up a bit. I try to, you know, come in on the show with some of the latest current events or whatever and stuff like that. But my message remains the same. You know, black folks, no one's going to help you get off of your feet until you help yourself get off your feet. You can't depend on somebody else to do that for you. And that's something I realized a long time ago. You know, nobody's going to help you get off of your feet unless you put forth that effort to do it yourself. And this is the thing I see in mainstream liberal black America. And people are depending on a politician, the government, to help them get up, pull them up by their bootstraps. Look, I got two good working arms. I can pull up my own bootstraps. I don't need a leg up from anybody. You might set the atmosphere where I can do that myself, but that doesn't mean I need you to come and actually do that for me. That's why I like the freedoms that we have in the United States of America. That's why I enjoy the freedoms we have here. Because we have the atmosphere. I mean, what other country can you go, you know, you can go to the library, look up stuff. I mean, look at China. They put a lockdown on your social media, everything, because they want to control your thinking. And sad to say, there are people in this country that want to take China's example. They want to tear down the whole system and build it back up. And if you would ask me, that sounds like communism to me. Tear down the whole system and build it back up. Why would you want to do that? We might have some flaws in the system, but we need to work on those flaws. But overall, the system is a great system. And I consider it an honor, a privilege to have been born and bred and to have grown up in this great country of ours. America's not a perfect country. No country is. But like I said about going to the fair yesterday, you know, I'm sitting there looking at all these different kinds of people, all these cultures and everything. You got people with their heads wrapped up, you know, the Muslims. You got Indians. You got people wearing their traditional clothing and everything. And I'm like, now this is a picture of diversity. So why do people keep saying that this country of ours is a racist country? I don't understand that. We're not living in Jim Crow. You know, during Jim Crow, it would have been totally different. But we're not living in Jim Crow. So I don't understand when people say that racism in this country is worse than it was during the Civil Rights era. When I went to use the bathroom yesterday, guess what? All types of people were in there. You had Hispanics, you had white people, you had black people. Didn't have a separate bathroom. Didn't have separate water fountains. Didn't have separate concessions. And people keep, and when I point this out to people, and I'm not the only one that does it. I'm not trying to make myself out to be special. When I point this out to people, people want to call me the name. You're cool. You're sellout. You're this. You're that. Okay, yeah, whatever. But you're living in this same system, and you can't even see it because someone has blinded your mind with their rhetoric. You give an ear to somebody who is preaching lies to you, and you're believing the lies because this person has your favor. But a person who doesn't have your favor, you wouldn't even listen to the truth that comes from them. And that's the era that we live in today. I don't like you. You can tell me the truth, and I won't believe you. But I like you, and just tell me all the lies, and I'll just believe anything you say. That's the age that we're living in today. And we're living in also in an age where if the majority thinks a certain way, then the majority must be right. No. Tell that to the people who went down to Guyana, Jamestown. Jim Jones tells them to take the poison. And with a few exceptions, most of the people did what he said. Nearly 1,000 people listened to the lie of this one man, one of the biggest mass suicides of all time. Yeah, thank you there, Mr. Garney. But yeah, just think about that. Just because a minority agrees on something doesn't mean that it is right. It doesn't mean that these people, because all these people, they're part of a collective and they're thinking the same thing, that means that they're right. The majority is not always right. There are some instances where the majority is, but most of the time, the majority is not going to be right. And see, that's where you have to stick to your gun. You have to stand on your two feet. You don't let the majority influence how you think. If you know you have the truth, but the majority doesn't have the truth, you don't let the majority influence you to think a certain way. That's why I think the way I do. That's why I like to be independent-minded. That's why I like to be free-thinking. I don't want you telling me how I am supposed to think. And I know, you know, mainstream liberal black media, they don't understand a person who thinks for himself. Who can come up with his own conclusion, who can do his own research, his own study. I was told by, you know, a certain person, that I don't know how to read, that I have special needs. Special needs people don't drive 24 miles to Raleigh, North Carolina to go to a state fair and pay more than $100 to buy certain items at that fair either. You know, and like I said, I have no problem with, you know, you all can go ahead and say about me what you want to, but I'm just going to keep on saying what I have to say. If you don't listen, hey, that's on you. It's not on me. You're not intimidating me. I'm not going to change my rhetoric because it offends you. Because really, I'm not intentionally being offensive. I'm just telling the truth here. And I know I might call certain people fruit bats and everything and stuff like that. In a way, that's just me being funny and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not going to apologize for using that. I'm not going to apologize for calling certain people fruit bats because, you know, don't act like a fruit bat. You won't be one. But I don't do this to be intentionally offensive to people. But one thing I've learned in my 55 years of living is that the truth offends a lot of people. It boggles the mind, but you're like, you know what? It might offend you. I don't know why it offends you, but I'm going to keep pushing the truth. And if anything I say is my opinion or just my personal point of view about something, and someone comes up to me and says, Vincent, you were wrong about this, you know what? I'll look into it, and if I confirm that what they told me is the truth, guess what? I'm dropping my point of view, and I'm following the truth. I'm not going to continue following a rhetoric that is wrong. I mean, that's just my mentality. And you might think I'm retarded. You might think I'm disabled, you might say I need special needs. You can say all that about me you want to. But being a free thinker does not mean I'm retarded. It means I've come to my own conclusion that, hey, I need to use logic and reasoning when I make my statements, when I look at things around the world. I can't just sit there with the collective and say, yeah, collective, okay, you're saying what you're saying. No, I can't do that, and I won't do that. And it has nothing to do with me trying to cater for the white people or anything like that. I don't, you know, I'm not catering for anybody. All I'm doing is catering for the truth. That's all I care about. If a white person tells me the truth, if a white person can convince me that what I'm saying is wrong and says this is the truth, I'm listening to the white person, just like I'll listen to a black person. If a black person comes up to me and they say, Vincent, what you're saying is wrong, and I discover that what they're saying, that they're truthful in what they're saying, I'm going to follow the truth. I don't care if it comes from a white person, black person, oriental person. I don't care who it comes from. And there may be times where we might hit up on a subject where we just agree to disagree. I'm not going to disrespect you because I disagree with your point of view. But if you come at me like some of these people do, you know, like I said, you know, I mentioned the name earlier, Warren. He's not the first person I've dealt with like that, and he's not going to be the last. But if you come at me like that, you know, you got to expect some backlash. But he's not the first person I've dealt with like that. I've dealt with people like Warren for decades, since the 90s. Maybe late 80s until now. I've dealt with people like that. I've been in this fight for a long time. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot first time I got into this battle. I've learned a whole lot. But you know, back in the day, you know, the folks who didn't like me were the black Muslims. They come up and with their, you know, black. And I'd tell them, you know, what the Bible says, you know, whatever. Oh, that's the white man's religion. You show me in the Bible where it's the white man's religion. Yeah, saying, okay, I'll be a black Muslim. But then you got this new group, well, not new, but they're growing by leaps and bounds, called the Black Hebrew Israelites. They have certain little factions. And they're up there talking about, well, the Bible says that Jesus was a black man based on this scripture. And all they do is twist the scriptures around. The Bible doesn't say anything about Jesus being a black man. And you got white people saying, yeah, Jesus was a brown skin. I don't care if Jesus was brown skin or black or yellow or whatever he was. I don't care. All I care about is his teachings. I don't care about his skin color. See, when Jesus was coming up against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he called them blind guides who strain at a gnat, yet swallow a camel. What Jesus was saying was they get so caught up on the smallest, the pettiest issues, but the bigger issues just go right by them. Jesus was black. Jesus was black. Okay, let's say Jesus was black, but are you following his teachings? Well, Jesus was what? Dude, are you following his teachings? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Because when I listen to you, you don't like white people. You hate white people, so you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, white people, they're descended from Esau. If you can show me to prove that, I'll become a black Hebrew Israelite. But dude, rest assured, I read the Bible every day. Okay? So I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm just gonna, spoiler alert. You're not gonna convince me that the Bible says that Jesus was black and that white people are the descendants of Esau. It's not gonna be that easy to convince me of that. You really have to give me some hard evidence to show me that the Bible says that. And I can assure you, the Bible is not going to give you that evidence. Because the Bible is for everybody, not just your little hateful, racist group. And yes, black people can. That's how it is. That's how I see it. And I'm just going to follow the truth. Yeah, someone might influence me to think a certain way, but if I find out that person's been lying to me, I'm dropping the lie, and I'm following the truth. But what I'm seeing, a lot of people, they're not going to drop the lie. They refuse to drop the lie because it hurts their pride to drop something that was so precious to them. The truth just messed up their whole rhetoric. And so instead of examining that truth, they want to attack the person who is giving that truth. And I think it's a miserable life to have to, it's a miserable life to only hold on to your personal point of view, and you don't want to, you just don't want to expand your horizon, so to speak, to examine how you've been thinking for all these years. Someone tells me something that I've been believing is wrong, and I find out that it is wrong, oh, you're not hurting my pride. I'd be like, oh, shoot, I've been believing this for so long. No, I'm dropping that. I'm dropping this. Because I don't hold anyone on a pedestal higher than I uphold God. God is the ultimate. When I read the Bible, that's God talking to me. That's how I see it. That's God talking to me. And whether I feel like that or not, that's basically what it is. It's God talking to me. And if you don't understand that, you don't want to understand that, hey, you just go ahead and believe whatever way you want to believe. But I'm going to sit here as a free thinker. I'm going to accept the truth, and I'm going to get rid of the lie. Oh, man, I got a caller on here. I only got 6 minutes left. Let me get this caller. I'm not going to do the alert right now, but because I only got 6 minutes left in the show.
Benson, what you doing? You got a You got an underground radio station going on, popping up every different time. Use the day. Is this Vince? What's the password? Go for it. What's the password?
If you listen to the beginning of the show, I came in late yesterday, later than I expected, because my wife and I, we went to the North Carolina State Fair yesterday. And when I came in, I tried to, you know, adjust my time to a later time to, you know, do my program last night. And something's up with the timing on Blog Talk Radio. I said, you know what, I'm just going to do this on Sunday. Let me just go ahead and do this on Sunday because I didn't want to miss this weekend. And
why don't you just take a day off? Just take a day off and enjoy yourself. You don't have to, the world ain't going to come to an end.
Well, I know that, but I've been off for like 2 weeks because, you know, month and then
You was at the fair. Did you see anybody there with convention of states getting petition signed?
No, I didn't. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'm going to ask them about that. They should have been at that event trying to get people to sign the petition for Article 5 Convention of States for the U.S. Constitution.
Oh.
And I think North Carolina
out there yesterday, but I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask some questions with the people here who probably know the people there in your state. Because I've got some gun clubs. One is a black female gun club out of Ohio. And we want people in that state to contact them so that they can do the presentation and share the information with their membership. Because the way this government is going today, the only thing that'll reel it in is amending the U.S. Constitution, putting things in like term limits, balanced budget, overreach of U.S. government agency. And term limits not only apply to the politicians, but also the government's officials, period, you know, even if they work in agency. And I think that the states should pay the salaries of their Congress people that represent them. It shouldn't be on one federal salary with the whole bunch. No, let the state pay their salary. That way you can keep them more accountable and have the transparency.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I agree with that totally. You know, answer me this. Have you heard about Project 2025?
No, what's that about? Something going to happen in the year 2025?
Oh, man. Okay, I thought you would have known it because I just heard about it today. It's some project, it says building now for a conservative victory through policy, personnel, and training. And from what I gather of it, they want to hold, if we have a conservative, if we elect a conservative president, they want to hold them accountable for, you know, their promises and everything. That's what I get out of it. I haven't read the whole thing. I mean, good grace, this thing is about 900 pages, though.
That's why it's so big. But that's the same thing.
Yeah.
See, that's the same thing that you do with amending the Constitution. You can only hold them to the U.S. Constitution. You can't hold them to no laws, or you can't hold them to no promises because they're not going to do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I tell you,
and I think that's what they want to do here.
It needs to be. I ain't gonna tell them what to do. But have you signed the petition?
Say again.
Have you signed the Convention of States petition?
No, I haven't.
Well, you need to sign the petition. Let me ask you another thing. What phone service you use?
I use AT&T.
Yeah, well, I switched over to Pure Talk because it's about America. When you call customer service, you're talking to real live Americans. They support veterans. They support programs that help prevent veterans from suicide. And they also got another program that is raising money to help pay off the home, the mortgages for some disabled veterans. And not only that, they offered service just as big as anybody else, and it's cheaper. But
okay,
like I said, it's about America. So those are things we have to do. I ain't saying you need to, but that's what I did because, you know, yeah. I'm about the United States.
Yeah.
Pure
yeah.
talk.
Yeah, I've heard about them. I heard a lot of good things about them, too. You know, and it's something I'm going to look into.
Yeah, just check them out. There's several of them, but this is the only one they advertise about the veterans, which and it wasn't hard. I did it, and I enjoy it. Matter of fact, my phone used to cut off after 4 hours on any Blog Talk show. And I checked this out last night. It went past 4 hours and kept on going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that, you know. So
I'm going to get you,
yeah.
I'll text you something on that article, on that petition. Do you get my text? Because I send you a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
On Facebook. Yeah.
No, not on Facebook, on your phone.
Oh, yeah, I get those too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd send you something on Facebook on the Convention of States, and that's something that just sign a petition. It had no obligations. Of course, they would ask you if you want to volunteer. You know, this information is available, and volunteer is just like what I'm doing, talking about it.
Okay.
And anything leading up to it. Nobody gets no money. It's not paying anything. It's about that you are truthfully concerned about the direction that the country is headed, and you want to reel in a federal government that's completely out of control. And see, when we have a convention, the president, the courts, Congress cannot stop it because it goes
okay.
back to the people.
Yeah.
It's the
that's right.
So that's where it is. But glad to see you somewhere.
Yeah.
I know the Fruitbacks is confused.
Yeah.
I knew something going on. I could see them flying around.
They doing a show last night.
Yeah, I knew something was going on. I've seen them bats flying around looking like they were lost.
Oh, wait a minute. I got another caller. Oh, let me get this caller on here. I know I'm in archives, but let me get this caller.
I was just calling
Hello.
So I could listen after you went into overtime.
Oh, hey there, Robert.
Hey, Robert, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Vincent's all over the place. I just, by mistake, ran into him.
Yeah. Hey, this Saturday,
go ahead.
Oh. Yeah, next Saturday I should be on a regular time, so, you know, it should be no discrepancies. I have no plans for next week, so I should be back on same bat time, same fruit bat time, same root bat channel.
Yeah,
but
I knew when Vince was getting a phone call with only about 7 minutes left that I'd better call in so I could hear what was going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Send that to me, Tiansi. Please do, because
I
want
to
look at
that. And I'm going to talk to somebody, because they should have had some people there at that fair that should have been sharing the information about Article 5 with the public. We had an air show here today or yesterday, and I think they got at least 200 and some odd petitions signed, which is pretty good. Louisiana has about 37,000 people that signed. Louisiana is a state that signed on to the Article 5. I think the southern states is the one that's going to have to save the country, or they're going to form another confederacy. Northern states is completely out of control. They're really crazy.
Mm-mm. I tell you.
Then you got a New Mexico governor. You know, she's nuts.
That idiot.
Where these people come from, Robert?
I don't know, but you know, the problem with our governor right now is that she's starting to position herself so that she is seen more, so that she can maybe when her term ends, she can start going for a federal office, which is, heaven forbid, I'm going to do everything I can to let everybody know how bad a person she is.
Well, you see, Robert, that's the thing I was telling Vincent, is that states should pay their federal Congress people, Congress and U.S. Senate, and all federal employees should be term limited. They shouldn't work there for life. I don't care what you're doing. You can be answering the phone. They should be term limited.
I agree.
And see, that'll cut that stuff out. Another thing, all federal officials, and it should be government officials, has to have taken a course in the history of the United States and constitutional, and all the, they need to take a course so they know that what they are swearing an oath to. Because, like, if this woman get in Congress, she's going to be dumb as a bunch of rocks.
Yeah.
And that's insulting the rocks, too.
You damn right it is. So the people have a chance to change this, and I have to say, we keep letting these illegals in. They have no sense for a U.S. Constitution. They don't have no sense for a Constitution at all, given where they're coming from.
That's for sure. Well, you know, like here in Albuquerque, we have like Legacy Church, which is the one I go to. We have that pastor who is constantly pushing how bad she is, and he does what he calls a rant, and he will go off on her on something that she has done, and I guess the Democrats listen because he gets all kinds of hate mail.
Well, I imagine he does. I imagine he does, and you know what we're talking about? Good. Another thing, these courts is completely out of control, also. These courts
need to be
reeled in. They need to start implementing or getting rid of these federal judges. You can only move them based on good behavior. They serve on account of good behavior. And a lot of them are not behaving well, and there should be a move or effort to recall them, even if it's not successful. It will start sending them a message. And also, people should know that courts do not make laws. They do not make laws. Even any of us could be a judge. We could be a common court judge, but we don't make laws. We just give an opinion based on listening to the argument between two or more parties. And that's all they do.
That's all they do. Or at least that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
but, like that latest directive that she gave to redefine her executive order against guns. This time she had a district judge who said, oh, yeah, she can do that. So,
well, you
know,
somebody needs to put the message out there that judge, you don't make laws. Because now, they say what they want to say, and nobody challenges them.
Yeah.
And you know
and
how it is. It's like,
on your property. Don't get heard.
Yeah, it's just like on your property. You put up what? A no trespassing sign. So people can see it. They know not to go beyond that sign. So the same thing needs to be done with these judges. Somebody needs to say amongst a bunch of people that, judge, you do not make laws. And they start getting the picture, just like that no trespassing sign puts a message in some people's heads who would dare cross that line.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what I could talk about on my next show. That might be it right there.
Well, you know how human beings are. They are creatures of habit.
Yep.
And you gotta show them to make them think. That's another problem. People today don't think.
They
kids
were never taught.
Yeah, young people don't think.
And see, like I said earlier in the program, it's like, you know, the person you favor, you will accept any lie that they tell you, but the person you don't favor, you won't accept the truth from them. You know, that's what leads to that type of thinking. It's all about favorites today. You know, hey, I like this person, so whatever he tells me, I'll believe him, but I don't like this person, so even if he tells me the truth, I ain't going to believe him, you know, so that's what it leads to, that type of thing.
Well, there are people here in New Mexico who are working to get rid of her, and I'm one of them, so hopefully we can do it.
Well, that's good. We need more voices out there, I tell you. My goodness.
Don't New Mexico have recall?
Here in New Mexico, recalling a governor is not in the Constitution, but impeaching a governor is, and there's an active impeachment try going on. So, and I think 31 of the legislators have signed on to it.
Well, that's where it began at, and the legislatures should put in a amendment to New Mexico's Constitution, provisions to recall not only your governor, but also your judges and anybody else, especially your school board.
Yeah, and they need to do that. At least they've got the impeachment thing in there, so you know, if they'd have left that out, then we'd have been stuck.
Yeah, that'll put them people out in the cold, and they will be stripped of their underlying motive, especially in people like her who have ambitions, and even legislators having ambitions to get to the big house. Well, you put the right things in place, and when you get to the big house, you're still going to be accountable directly to the people, because if you're being paid by the people, then the people have the ability to have that transparency. Where else do you get money from? Let's see your taxes.
Yep, that's for sure. And I know one of the things that a bunch of people, even just regular people, are mad at my pastor for is because he calls her the same thing I do, and I call her the Wicked Witch of the North, and my pastor is where I got that from.
Yeah.
He says it, and we have, like they were talking today about the places that our sermons and his sermons and his rants and everything else are being heard from. They're heard all over the world. I mean, there was somebody from New Zealand today, and so they're getting people from all over the place. So, and there's a lot of people in the United States that are hearing this, and so hopefully it'll help push the word out. Because he's got more of a voice than I do, and I'm still trying.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take. People are going to have to rise up and take back this country. If not, you're going to lose it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I got another call coming in. Let me get to it. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye-bye. I appreciate you. Bye-bye. I got to get ready to go, too, because my wife's got dinner cooking back here, and I'm smelling it, and it's almost ready. So thank you guys for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm going to have to get in here and listen.
Okay. Well, folks, I'm going to end the show right there. I hope I didn't cut off Robert. I think he was saying something. I'm not sure, but I hope I didn't cut him off. But next week, God willing, should have another edition of Black by Color only on CNM Radio. And you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Anthony Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You all take care of yourselves.